Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're back with another podcast, DL Gaming.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's why I keep that guy around.
Yeah. That's why he's the host.
Yep. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to Chad, who's got some exciting news about some polls that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, we're looking for a little more listener involvement. So what we're going to do is we are going to leave it up to you guys on the game that we're going to review next week. So we're going to create a discussion in the Steam group and leave it up to you guys on what you guys want to hear us review and talk about next week. It could be the worst game you've ever played. It could be something that you really want us to play, something that you really are curious on what we think on it. It's really up to you. Give us a reply. We'll go through it. We'll pick the top winner, and we'll play that game, and we'll tell you about it next week.
Cool.
Sounds good.
I'm excited about this idea because what happens, I get so many of these games and they look good and I want to play them. I throw them in the library after I buy them and then I forget about them. So take a pick from the wide selection that I have and be it good or be it bad. I love finding those little obscure games.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm kind of curious to know if they'll be like punishing us and trying to pick the worst game possible for us to play.
Bobby Dreamhouse?
Yeah.
Did you really want that, Bobby? Did you really want it? Because now you got to play it for 3 hours.
Yeah. So this will be fun.
The $10 troll.
Oh, I also wanted to bring up week 3 of our visual podcast done by our friend Geyser. All of them have been amazing. I'm really excited about those. If you haven't had a chance, check out our YouTube channel, dlgaming.net. If you want to watch the podcast and see what the heck we're talking about, check those out. Those are amazing.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job.
Definitely. And on this one, we may even have some webcam footage in there.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Might see us.
Yeah.
And if this turns out this mad experiment.
I'm a little concerned about this one, though, because the screen is wobbling, and it kind of looks like you guys are undulating a little bit.
No, we'll clean that in post. Don't worry about that.
All right.
Don't worry.
Stabilizers. We got stabilizers. We got modifiers. We have flux capacitors. We're
all
good.
That made up shit. All right, so the big news, I guess, would be PAX, Penny Arcade Expo, which Chad got to witness firsthand.
Our man in the field.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I was working all 4 days, so I didn't get a whole lot of, I didn't get a lot of chance to go around and actually talk to and play and all.
I know they needed fluffers at PAX.
Yeah. Apparently, there was a lot of cock to stroke off. No, but I sent some pictures out. Were you guys able to put them up on the? I didn't see them linked anywhere.
Did you get those pictures to me?
We will put those pictures up. I took some pictures of PAX. I'm sure there's pictures everywhere on all sorts of PAX things, but we'll put ours up if you're curious to know what I took pictures of.
I thought Chad's were better than most because he was, like I said last week, he was running around the theme park after dark.
Yeah.
And got all the shots that he wanted without any people in it and stuff.
So I just have a couple notes. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to play a whole lot, but I just want to bring up a couple things. So the first and foremost, I saw Star Citizen. I actually sat and played it for about a couple minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was on a high-end rig and just chugging along. I don't know if they were trying to put as much graphics intensity as they could on there. But then I saw another booth using it, and it was running smoothly. So I think Star Citizen might have the high-end graphics just off the charts, you know, and so you can tone it down as much as you want.
So run me through this real quick. So you wait in line to play these games, right?
Not Star Citizen. I just walked up and played it. So it was actually at the Area 51 that I played it. And so they're showing off their like high-end stuff. So, you know, people are walking up and talking to them. They've got this new rig. I forget what it's called, but it's basically looks like a triangle.
Alienware you're talking about.
Alienware. I'm sorry. It looks like a triangle, sort of. So the case is not a rectangular case. Right. It looks amazing, but how many people actually look at your rig?
You got to now buy our triangular parts.
Yeah, too. Exactly. But yeah, there was nobody playing it. They had a 3-monitor setup on this super high-end rig, and I just walked up and fiddled around with it and played it. Took my picture next to it. It was all good.
So generally speaking, though, so people wait in line to play games,
yeah.
right?
An hour, 2 hours.
How long do you
get
to sit there and play?
Most of them have a demo, so you play through the demo.
I see.
And then you're over.
But like an Evolve game, I guess you could play one game or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally speaking. Gotcha. So anyways, I played Star Citizen. It was the asteroid. It was the flying the spaceship version of Star Citizen. It looked amazing. It was a little funky because it was doing a WASD plus mouse control, but you're flying a ship instead of using a joystick. So it was a little wonky, but it looked amazing. It didn't diminish my excitement for Star Citizen at all.
Cool.
So that was that. Borderlands, I didn't actually get a chance to play the pre-sequel, but there was some discussion I had with some of the developers that were there, and they were talking about some gravity pockets. So you're in space, right? There's no oxygen. So all these like fire effects that they've done in previous Borderlands, they don't do in ours. In this one.
Okay.
But what they do is you can click these, you can get to these areas where you can activate these like gravity fields, and they'll generate oxygen. So within these things, you'll have gravity, fire effects will work, all of that stuff that's in the traditional Borderlands, but then you can turn it off and it will remove it all. So there's some mechanics there that you can do that.
So generally speaking, maybe fire effects is a, you know, why would you get fire if it only works during these things?
Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't seem that as potent.
It doesn't seem as potent as
it. Although it wasn't that big anyway.
Yeah.
Were you guys at all surprised that this game is going to retail for $59.99?
Not really.
I kind of thought this was going to be more of a, not necessarily a DLC, but not quite a full version standalone Borderlands game. But maybe it is, if they're charging that much.
The way I looked at it is, we needed to use Handsome Jack again.
Yeah.
He already died. So let's just stick this one in between the first two.
People loved him. Let's put him in a new one. How do we get him to work even though we killed him off? You know, like where does this fit in?
Well, I'm talking about content though. Do you think you're going to get as much playtime out of this game as you would Borderlands 1 and 2?
I would imagine 4. More. But who knows, really?
Hmm.
It doesn't seem like it, right?
Yeah. I don't know. See, I thought it was going to be somewhat of a DLC, but I guess it's going to be a full version. And, of course, they release all sorts of DLC for those games anyway.
Yeah.
Next up.
Yeah. So, what else did I see at PAX? So, Massive Chalice, which is a Double Fine game. It seems like Double Fine is just starting to pump out these games, like, more and more. Like, you're seeing Double Fine on these. Massive Chalice, when I talked to the developer, they were talking about a turn-based RPG similar to, they compared it to XCOM, actually.
Okay.
So it's that same style, but it's in a fantasy realm, similar to maybe a Divinity. But it looked really clean. Tim Schafer was there, like, doing the spiel for it. It looked good, so we'll have to see how that comes out.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics to me.
A little bit like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Blizzard had a big booth there. Nothing really new. They were pumping their three titles, you know, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, and WoW. All three of those, you know, have a lot of buzz going on with it. So that booth was just slammed nonstop.
Who had the most impressive booth? Just the booth, not the games.
Most impressive? I think Sony and Microsoft have the biggest booth.
Yeah.
So both of them are peddling their particular.
What's the overall feel when you're walking around and stuff? Crowded, overcrowded?
It is definitely crowded. I heard 65,000 people through 4 days.
And a small place, small venue.
Which is a small venue. They're actually talking about maybe taking it out of Seattle because it is too big, and maybe moving it down to California or something like that. In comparison, E3, I've heard numbers at around 50,000. So maybe slightly bigger than E3 as far as pure numbers are concerned.
Wow.
But then I was talking to somebody else, and Gamescom, I heard it had 300,000.
Oh, you're talking about all of Europe as opposed to, yeah.
And, but they say that their convention center is almost a mile. Like,
jeez.
So it's a different scale over for Gamescom.
Yeah.
But this one feels, you know, the excitement is just there. It's all fans. There's so many, like, cosplayers and all sorts of things. Like, the Borderlands and Telltale with that kind of art style, you know, they kind of have the similar art style. It's kind of like looks drawn with the heavy black shading. Mm. I saw so many cosplayers with that kind of style.
That's cool.
It was awesome. There was crazy cosplayers there. Not as big as last year or 2 years ago, but it was still a lot of fun as far as the fans were concerned. Everybody's happy. They just want to see games. They're happy to wait in line for an hour to see these games because they're so excited about these games. It's so... And then if any swag is given away, like if t-shirts are
nuts
given, yeah,
it,
oh yeah, it's insane. They were doing some Gauntlet. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I took a look at Gauntlet. It looks good. The graphics look good. It just looks like another Gauntlet. So I'm excited for that. I like the concept of Gauntlet. It brings back old school, and I hope they just bring this up to the modern times. One of these games that I saw that was getting a lot of hype was Dreadnought. Have you guys heard of this game?
No.
So to me, it looked like a tank combat game, but set to these kind of space tanks, you know, these dreadnoughts instead of this tank style. So it was okay. Kind of, you were hiding behind things and you were moving it around, but it was more like a space kind of style game than it was kind of a tank game. I don't know much about it. I didn't get a chance to play it, but their booth was definitely PC-centric. They said it might be coming to consoles, but as of right now, it is definitely PC game, and their booth was packed the whole time I saw them.
Vehicle combat.
It looked like a vehicle combat style kind of multiplayer sort of game.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it when we have more information.
Yeah. Hmm. Another one that I saw that was getting a lot of hype, but I know nothing about, is Grey God. Have you guys heard of this game?
No, nothing.
Their booth had a lot of stuff going on with it. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go by, but you know, coming up in a little bit, you know, this title, Grey God, might have some hype going on to it. Cool. The final one that was talking about with quite a bit of hype was Gigantic.
Yeah, that's one that I have seen the trailer for, and I've read quite a bit about it. Or not quite a bit, but all the information there is about it. It's weird how it's like not a MOBA.
It's
pretty much
there's no lanes, there's no creeps. It's a 5v5 with a boss, sort of.
The Titan.
With a Titan.
Yeah.
So,
but it's going to be harder than the Titan, I think. It seems like it's difficult to.
So basically, it's basically a 5v5 deathmatch, I think, with an objective at the end.
Right.
So you're playing for a purpose instead of just doing sort of scoring. You're playing to try to kill this giant boss.
It's like maybe like a capture point on each end, but the capture point needs to be defeated, maybe.
Yeah, something like
that. Right?
I'm not sure.
I've also heard that it can move around, and in the rare cases, they'll fight each other.
Yes.
Which sounds awesome.
So I had the opportunity to talk to a couple developers on this. I was trying to get some early access passes and all.
Right. I signed up for the beta, but we all know I won't get in.
What I was told from several developers is if you sign up for the alpha, you'll get in. Hmm. Because they are interested in getting as much information as possible. So if you are interested at all in Gigantic, and if you don't know what the game's about, check it out. But if you're interested at all, I would recommend signing up because it does sound like you have a good chance of getting in.
Maybe they haven't sent them out yet. Maybe that's why I didn't get in.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
I've signed up right when I got back from PAX. I signed up. So
okay.
I'll let you know if I get in. The next one was Borderlands Tales. It is the next one from Telltale.
Right.
Oh, Geyser is actually telling me it's Grey Goo, not Grey God. Apologies for that.
It's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously.
That's funny. And earlier today, I was talking about Realm of the Mad King, but it's the Mad God. So we can't get God right today.
Apparently not. So Borderlands Tales, which is the next one from Telltale. I was not aware that this one was coming out. So this came as a shock to me when I went into PAX. Bobby, you play these games a lot. You love Telltale. Have you heard about this? Is this something that you're
interested?
We've
actually talked about it a few times.
Yeah, we brought it up
before you were
on, I think. They announced this at... Did they announce it at Spike?
Yeah.
The VGX?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that was the first time they announced it. Yeah. It's Telltale Games based on Borderlands characters, new characters in the Borderlands universe. I think that could be good.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a good company. It's a good overall arc that they have over there on the Pandora, and it's good storytellers on the other side. So they got a good, canon on one side, and they got good storytellers on the other side. It's going to work out for sure. If you like that type of game, it's going to work.
And the way they explained it was the guys over at Gearbox, whoever owns the rights to Borderlands, they just gave them the characters and the freedom to do what they want. I don't think they're going to have any involvement in the game. I think Telltale's doing this all on their own, but with those characters.
Let's hope that they don't do any fuckery and it's like, what the fuck do you do with our characters? But I doubt, you know, they want to make money, so they'll make a good product.
Yeah, I think there's some trust there.
So I guess the last thing to bring up about PAX is I got swag. I got some shirts. I got some random things from there.
We're looking over like there's a giant pile of shit.
So we're talking probably 8 shirts or so. I got the Borderlands pre-sequel shirt. It's a cool looking blue shirt. What else did I get? I got 2 versions of the Far Cry 4 shirt. I got about 8 shirts or so. I got a Magicka hoodie. A Magicka 2 hoodie.
Don't put it on, dude.
I'm not going to put it on. But it looks ridiculous. It looks ridiculous. So here's the deal. I got this care package of pack stuff. They're all larges or extra larges or so. Most of them are probably extra larges. If you are interested, this is what we're looking to do. We're trying to increase our Steam group. So we're trying to hit 500. So when we hit 500, we're going to give this package away of all these shirts. So
when we minus all the cool ones we pulled out already.
No, not minus all the cool ones. I didn't take a single shirt. If you're interested in this, get our Steam group to 500. When it hits 500, I'll start a discussion saying, "Hey, this is what you got to do to get this stuff and we'll give it away."
Cool.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
So, what's next? What we're playing? Are we there? Or you have any more on packs?
Should I talk about the other giveaway? Or should?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that right now. Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that came up, I went to the Blizzard booth. I was able to get a beta key for the Warlords of Draenor. So we're going to give this away to a listener. All you guys got to do is send an email to dudes@dlgaming. Say, "I'm interested in the beta. I want to play Warlords of Draenor," and we'll give it away to one person.
We'll raffle it off. Not the person we like the most.
Yeah, we'll to a random.
Oh, it's gonna be listener. Hard though.
I know. Okay. I was
Puppy Parade. I mean, that's a great name, dude. His little symbol.
That is. So I got 2. I've put one on myself. So later on in this podcast, I'll talk a little bit about what I've seen so far in the beta. If you're interested in Warlords of Draenor, and we have one to give away. So. If you're interested in WoW, this is a great episode. Let us know that you're interested, and we'll give it away to somebody.
Let's transition right into you playing it.
You want to talk about that?
Go for it. We'll go right into what we're playing.
So I put a couple hours in.
The Chadcast. Yeah, welcome to the DL Chadcast.
I apologize if you guys don't like my voice. Then I apologize right now.
I was making up for missing out last week.
Yes, yeah, seriously. So I put a couple hours into the Warlords of Draenor beta. The graphics look so much like, okay, WoW does not have great graphics. Everybody knows that, right? This isn't going to blow your mind, but it looks twice as good as
regular
what,
WoW.
Yeah, as yeah. regular WoW.
But WoW didn't look good when WoW came out.
Yeah.
So
it's stylized. Right. Like, and they're sticking with their stylization.
Right.
It looks a lot better. The orcs in particular look a lot better than what you're used to. The graphics look different. Look a lot better. They've redone kind of all the classes and how they work. For example, I play a balanced druid, and he has this whole mechanic with balance, light, dark, or sun, solar eclipse, and lunar eclipse. Hmm. And they've kind of reworked that. Everything's kind of tweaked and improved.
It feel like a new game.
It feels like your rotation. You need to learn again. And so that's kind of what they're going for. You got to relearn your class.
They did that with every class?
They've done tweaks pretty much for everything.
Okay.
The big thing that's coming in here is garrisons. So garrisons are kind of... People have been asking for player housing for a while. And so garrisons is finally their answer to player housing. So basically, right when you get into 90, you get in and you start making this garrison. This is your garrison.
Is it an instance?
It's an instance area. Everybody, so if you're Horde, you go to, I forget what it's, Frostfire Canyon or whatever it's called. Right. And if you're Alliance, you go to like Shadow Moon Valley or whatever. But anyways, you get there, you go into your instance of it, and it's basically, I want to say it's a little bit like Farmville, but I've never played Farmville, but your resources are kind of being gathered by your people, and it's kind of going at a set pace, and you're doing quests.
What, like you have your own farmers?
Basically, yeah. You have your guys. You have your little peons that are going out to the thing and gathering resources. It's very much like,
Dropstone.
Yeah, exactly. Warcraft 3 style. You've got your peons going, and then you can do quests to earn more resources, and then you use these resources to do different things like build barracks or build other buildings within your garrison, which can level your garrison can then level up to do it. So it
seems so strange.
Like I said, it's kind of like a Farmville. Like you're doing little things, you're doing things. You get followers, and then your followers can do quests. So maybe, so for example, I got a follower, and then I let him into a quest, and the quest takes 30 minutes, and I get 75 resources or whatever it is.
Okay.
So you kind of have to manage your followers and your resources and whatever. But while this is all going on, you're also trying to level up your regular character. You know, it's just
it's something you could set and forget and then come back and...
Not really set and forget. It's similar, like I said, it's similar to these other games where...
You got
to
keep checking in on them.
You check in and you do things, and you can do things to speed things up or do things to change things up or you know, like you can be active in it, but it's going on a set time.
So it's like
for a lot of things.
It's like a WoW addiction now with Farmville addiction for free, just thrown in.
Yeah, wow. Kind of like that. Yeah.
Fuck, people are gonna die at their computers.
So, one of the cool things that I saw was you can. So you have your two professions. So say you're a skinner and a leather worker, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can set up a blacksmith, and now the blacksmith in your garrison can basically make as if you were a blacksmith.
Right.
So it can fill in for professions that you don't normally have, but it won't cover the most high end.
Right.
So you can do other stuff, but it won't be as good as if you had the profession,
right.
But it will be something that you can cover the
Maybe
profession.
Maybe you could cut out a little bit of the tediousness.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But also, if you have the profession, say you're a blacksmith and you put in a blacksmith right. in your garrison, you get bonuses because you have that in your garrison.
Interesting.
So you can do it several different ways.
So whatever you're doing right now, do you get to carry that into your own account?
On the beta?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So why? Okay, so you're probably just trying out a bunch
yeah,
of different
things. Yeah, I'm just trying about a bunch of different things. But the other thing that is cool is... Your garrison will actually be raided periodically, and they have like 6 or 7 different raid mechanics that go on to have your garrison raided. So it's really set up as kind of your home base in this expansion, and you even get your own hearthstone to your garrison.
So EverQuest 2 had this, I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah, well, this is going to be the Blizzard spin, so the Blizzard...
It's already better. I mean,
yeah, it takes it to the next level. Blizzard... Right. Blizzard doesn't just... Like, that's why they haven't put player housing in. Because they don't want just to pick your curtains. They want something that is tangible, that will provide benefits, that is something interesting.
It's not exactly tangible, though, because other players can't see it.
That's not true. Because I can group with you...
And you can come in my house.
And you can come...
So EverQuest next, you're going to have a physical building out somewhere.
True.
It's going to be really cool.
True. And that's true. Like that is an advantage of EverQuest Next.
Yeah.
But one thing that is cool is so you can put a mage tower in. A mage tower will have different portals.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole raid can then go into your garrison and use your
leave your shoes at the door.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can use these as advantages to go and do things. So it promotes you to get friends and to use their advantages where they are. The last thing I wanted to say about garrisons is...
There's going to be Cribs WoW Edition.
Yeah, probably.
And you mentioned people can raid it. Are these other players or NPCs?
No, it's for me, from what it sounded like, it would be like an NPC raid. Where
okay, so it's not like the Mighty Quest for Epic.
No, it didn't seem like that to me. When I find out more, I will definitely let you know.
This is the room that the magic happens.
Yeah.
He goes, what? He's like, well, I'm a mage. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a terrible joke.
What?
You need to watch Scribs. They always say that.
Okay. So the last thing I wanted to just mention is that they have this thing called monuments that you can put in your garrison. And there's a certain, you know, achievements that are kind of like super achievements. And though they will actually be physical monuments that will show up in your garrison, so you can kind of show off
your statues and shit.
Exactly. You can show off your super achievements that you do. Like, if you have all the professions to 700, you'll get an achievement like a Mastered Them All achievement, and it will show up as an actual monument within your garrison. So it's kind of taking your character and putting it into a physical form that you can kind of see everything that's laid out.
I bet the ratio of monuments that you have in WoW is directly opposed to how many things you actually own in real life. So if he's got a bunch of monuments, he doesn't even have a couch, for sure.
He's in his parents' basement?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what it's going on for Warlords of Draenor. I know not everybody's into WoW, but those people that are into it just are really excited about this new expansion.
It looks better than Mist Apart.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, I was not excited for Mist, and this has gotten me excited. And I think pretty much everybody knows this is going to be the last expansion. They're hitting 100. This is just fan service. They're going back 35 years. You're going to see all the, you know, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, not celebrities, but the people that you know from Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3, they'll all be in there. So this is kind fan of like, service, yeah, yeah, like you're yourself. Thanking the fans for everything they've done.
Okay, Chad, you take a deep breath. Bobby, say something.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be short. The only thing I've really been playing this week, I've been trying to finish off the Deponia trilogy. So the final chapter in that is Goodbye Deponia. And I've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, and there's really not too much that's different about each of these games. But I've never really talked about the fact that there's some striking similarities between this game and the movie Elysium. Have you guys seen that movie?
Mm. Yeah, I think I said that the first time you brought it. Oh, I thought it. I was like, oh, that sounds like Elysium.
Well, it's the same scenario where the world is a wasteland and all the rich people took off in a big spaceship and they live like out in space. In both this game and in the movie, the place is called Elysium. So I don't know. This game came out, I'm not sure, but it was a while ago, before the movie. So I don't know if they took from that or what. Yeah, very similar.
The art style looks very similar to
Monkey Island.
To me, it looks a lot like Penny Arcade.
Yeah, that's true. Looks the like, main character is just
yeah,
like
doesn't it?
Guy, yeah. Tycoon. Yeah, very similar to that, but it's... I keep going back and forth on this game, liking it and not liking it. I can't recommend it. I'm going to wait until...
part three and you can't recommend it?
Well, I've got to wait until I actually finish the game before I...
Because that really... After 15 hours of gameplay, last 2 hours is what really determines...
Well, I'm spending about 9 hours on each of these games. They're not incredibly long, you know, for a point-and-click adventure. But I think my biggest problem with it is just the puzzles don't make any sense. There's a part where I had to use a coin in a pie machine, and the coin was too big, so I had to sand it down with some rough toilet paper. These things don't make any sense. They're just completely random. Yeah. So you end up getting stuck.
That was probably supposed to be funny, the rough toilet paper.
Well, I mean, there is comedy in it, and some of the jokes are funny, but, you know, when things don't make sense in a point-and-click adventure game, it's a little frustrating because you feel better when you figure something out, but when something's just completely random, there's really no joy in figuring it out. Right. You just guessed.
Because it was arbitrary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening with that game. Looking ahead next week, I'm not sure what I'm going to get into. I think I'm going to continue to check things off the list. I'm thinking either Assassin's Creed 4, that one's long overdue, or possibly Call of Duty Ghosts. I really want to get into a first-person shooter. Or whatever a listener suggests, I'm open to whatever at this point.
Cool. I played The Swapper. I've talked about it before. But I got stuck at one time, and then I just didn't really pick it up again.
Wait, before you get into this too much, am I understanding this correctly? You're having your girl play this game?
She wanted to play it. She likes puzzle games.
Okay. And we had an episode, you know, a couple months ago about
what to play
with your girl. Yeah. And how has the response been with Swapper? Because this seems like a little dark, a little moody, a little not cutesy enough. And
right.
Well,
first of all, incredibly sexist.
Apologies.
That they can't have a nuanced...
I'm not saying for girls in general. I'm saying for your girl in particular.
Oh, I see. She enjoys it, I guess. I don't know. She said it looks super weird. This is creepy.
Exactly.
She's like... it looks like Nightmare Before Christmas. I love that movie. So
Nightmare... Okay.
Yeah, because it's claymation and it's dark.
Okay.
So, anyway... she likes puzzles, so we started playing the game together, and her lack of being able to play video games kind of almost helps because she was like controlling the WASD and I was doing the mouse. Cause you, there's no bad guys. You don't have to worry about Twitch mechanics and stuff. So she would do things that I would never do because I know what I'm doing. And then that would help me figure out the rest of the puzzle. You know what I mean? Like she's just jumping around, whatever. And I'm like, oh, maybe I can do it. It happened more than once. And maybe in a game like this, that is probably programmed towards gamers that game a lot, you know, somebody with a fresh look at it can help out. And she did help out a few times and she's enjoying it. She's like, ooh, did we get to play the swapper now? I don't know if she's trying to impress me or not, but we'll see. So, an unexpected surprise. Cause that's not what I wanted to play. I wanted to play The Walking Dead, but
just, Bobby just out of curiosity,
playing my games at night.
I recommended the Portal for her, recommended Portal for
that's
her to play.
Too much, man. There's no way.
Really?
Yeah, the first person. Yeah. It's just, I've tried that before and it just breaks girls' brains. I'm going to be sexist now.
Yeah.
Right in all hate mail to, Emilio at TL Game. See what else did I? Oh, and I'm playing more Mass Effect. A couple things I just want to complain about. I guess one thing really is the running around picking up items that are just sitting on park benches everywhere. You're making me run around and check every corner of every floor for no reason. I enjoyed that, mind you, when I was playing Wolfenstein. I like going around because it's the environments are so creepy and so different. But for Mass Effect, it's just kind of like. I'm saying park benches because they're almost always on a park bench.
Yeah.
But you got to run past three of them and then look right. Okay, there's nothing there. Good, check back. Just a small little thing. Chad and I also played a couple free-to-play games yesterday.
Yeah, we had some fun.
Yeah, we did. There's a game
not called, just yesterday. We played some today, too.
Yeah. Ace. And that's Arena Cyber Evolution.
Yeah.
And so highly stylized.
You were not looking forward to this. I brought this up several times. I said, hey, this is a little background. I brought this up before for this game, Ace Cyber Evolution. It was free to play. I was like, hey, let's just try this out. Let's see what it's like. And Emil was like, nah, I'm not playing this game. This looks stupid. And then so I went to PAX. And one of the things I do in PAX is I ask people, hey, what's the most interesting thing you've seen at PAX? What are you most excited about? What's most unexpected? A couple times, people would say, like, the fun I've had at PAX so far is playing this game, Arena Cyber Evolution. So this week, I told Emilio, hey, well, let's play this. It's free to play. There's no reason for us not to try this out.
Right.
So anyways, continue.
It has Borderlands-esque art. I would say very highly stylized.
Dark shading.
Yeah, that whole... I want to say Street Fighter started that. Street Fighter 4 with that dark shading.
It's cell shaded to the extreme. It's extreme cell shading.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean... Yeah, so what is it? It's...
3v3 kind of...
It's a mix between soccer...
Air hockey.
Sort soccer of. And air hockey, basically. And it's 3v3. And you got your characters and they have these different... they have one special move and one ultimate. Mm-hmm. And the ultimates are numbered, and the specials are timed. So you could do your special every few times, and then your ultimate you could do...
Six times or four times or whatever it is.
And you're throwing around this disc, basically, and trying to score goals. It's a lot of fun, though. The music's great. The art's great. But, unfortunately, all these great things, it's fucking unplayable, pretty much.
Well... So it's beta. It's early access beta.
Yeah.
Free to play early access beta. So there's bugs, there's issues, and right now there's not a lot of people playing the game. That was our biggest problem. Yeah. We couldn't get into games. We kept having bots show up in our game, and we didn't want to do that. But when we got 3v3 games,
it was fun. We had a blast.
We had a blast. It was a great game.
And they're already trying. This is really smart of them. If they come out with a good product that works. They're already looking at their esports. Like, they already have a $600 tournament that's, like, at the end of next month. It's not, like, next year or anything like that. You know, it's right away. You know, $600 is $600.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's good.
Yeah, we could put a team together and try to do that.
Yeah, seriously. So, there's no cost or anything. You guys should just try it out. It's fun. It's kind of silly. I think it still needs some tweaks. It still needs some work. But for being early access and very early access, it's very playable.
Yeah.
Like, once we got into the game, there was no issues. It was we were having issues, you know, grouping up together and playing together. And
except for the
issues.
One game where there was no opponents.
Yeah. I mean...
another cool thing is there's events that happen. So there'll be winds all of a sudden, or there'll be, like, the ground will turn frozen, or the walls will be, like, ricochet really hard. And it just alters the gameplay a little bit, and that's always fun. The special moves are a lot of, like, speed boosts and positioning things.
Yeah.
You know, I like the characters. They look really cool.
Yeah.
I can recommend this game because it's free. It needs players, so there's no reason to not go check it out.
Yeah.
And anybody could put a 3-man squad together.
Yeah. I think 3 is the right amount for this. If they had tried doing 5, it would have been a mess.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks like hockey.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I hope the three of us get together sometime and play this game, the three of us, because Amelia was playing goalie, and it ended up me and some other guy
right.
trying to figure out how to do the offense, and it was just being kind of a disaster. So I want the three of us to play, because I think if we did, we'd have a lot of fun doing it.
It's funny, because I don't usually play like the support role. But I really like that guy's ultimate. He can, at any point, he can teleport back to the goal. So you can play 3-on-2.
Hmm.
You can play your guy forward. And then if you lose control, you teleport back. Chad was him one time, and I shot a fucking game-winning goal, and he teleported and blocked it with his big dumb ass.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. They need more characters. They need better diversification. But
yep.
It is a good seed on what could be a good game.
Massive potential.
It does
evenly
potential.
Matched. Like, can you level up your character?
No. It's not anything like that. Like, you're not gaining levels during the match or anything like that. You can get like what are they
power-ups
called? Implants.
Implants. Yeah.
Which add little things, but it's not game breaking. You're not like screwed if you're a level 2 going up against a level 15
There's
person.
Kind of like actives that there are in MOBAs, and okay. you get to use it once per game. But I haven't unlocked any of them, so I don't know what they do.
Like the knuckle puck.
Yeah.
And then also we got into the realm of the mad god, not king.
Yeah.
And wow, Chad, go ahead. I don't know what to say about this game.
I did not want to play this game. First
it looks
of
like
all.
Dog shit.
Like, if you look at screenshots of this game, it looks like the worst game you've ever seen. Like, it looks like a high school senior project or something like that.
Mario had more pixels than your character.
Yeah. So the background is this isometric, and then you're set up as this 8-bit pixelated guy.
With two animations.
Yeah. The graphics are horrible on this game, but I don't know if they did that on purpose or if they just didn't care, or I'm not really sure why the graphics are set up like this, because the actual game is surprisingly complex and interesting, and they've got.
I wouldn't say complex. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's like exciting.
Somebody thought through the actual game, but didn't think through the graphics. So that's why I'm wondering if it was done by just a couple people who just don't have artists and don't have the capacity to do the actual graphics.
A lot of people just like throwbacks, but this is worse than a throwback.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at pictures here, and it's an embarrassment.
We're watching it. We're looking at video, and it looks like pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
But so it's all the best parts of a dungeon crawler, pretty much, without the graphics. And so you got the act. This is more fun than Diablo. If I'm going to be honest,
so it was fun.
It is fun.
I didn't want to like this game, and we played it today, and he was trying to get me to play something new, and I said, let's play this again, because I was having so much fun with it.
Here's your vouch on that. Chad stayed up till 2 in the morning on a weekday, so that's something really good. And then wanted to play when he got home.
Yeah. So, I played it this morning before I went to work by myself.
It's roguelike. It's permadeath. You unlock things the higher you get that character. Everything is super fast-paced. All the combat, everything is fast. The leveling's fast. The max level is 20. You could probably do it in 2 hours. Maybe a little less.
Yeah, a little less. But you got to survive. That's kind of the key. And it's basically two buttons. Like, you're holding one button to just auto-attack, and that's 90% of what you're doing. It's not a complicated game.
No.
You hold left-click to auto-attack, which doesn't affect your movement speed, so there's no reason you shouldn't be auto-attacking.
Yeah.
And then you can push spacebar to do your other ability, which for like a priest would be heal. Warrior can do like this berserker move.
And it's so dumbed down. Like, you don't even have to, hey, Bobby, do you want to be in my party? No, if
there
you're
is no
close,
party.
If you're close to me, you get all my benefits.
Yeah.
That's it. You can just walk up. And then there's no reason not to group up because, you know, there's no penalty for XP. So you just.
So can you play on dedicated servers where there's just a bunch of people playing?
It has
yeah,
servers.
Yeah, that's all there is.
US okay. West, no US private. East.
And,
It's such an easy game to play that there is a Flash version that you can do web-based.
Mm-hmm. And this is free to play?
Free to play, but you can. It's got a bunch of things that you can pay money for. Like right now, free to play, you only get one slot, so you can just play the character until he dies. Since it's a roguelike, then you can reroll something else. If you pay your $20, you can get three slots. They've got Vault where you can put items for other characters. You can get more Vault slots.
All the standard stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But this game's so much fun that I actually considered like spending some money on it. I didn't because I don't know if I'm going to play again. But it's fun. That's all I can say about it.
Yeah, and it's got the roguelike thing with it.
One second download. I've never seen anything like it. It was an instant download. And it has a lot of bugs. Like, it bugs out a lot. So you just restart. Restarts take, including shutting down, 3 seconds to start your game up again. So it's like, oh, I bugged out again. I'll be right back. Oh, okay. You know, that was it. Yeah.
Like, it takes all the work out of getting together, playing. Like, it's super simple to pick up and play.
No reason not to try it.
Yeah, there's no reason. It's like if I told you a website to check out. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. So should we get into news?
Sure.
All right.
Now, there was one more game that I played this week.
Oh, okay.
Can I bring this up real
quick? Yeah, you haven't talked enough yet.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, I'm Chad, if you haven't heard me yet. So I picked up this game called The Bridge. It had kind of this M.C. Escher-style look to it, black and white, drawn graphics sort of thing. It was on sale for 99 cents, regularly like $10 or something.
So M.C. Escher is the guy who draws all those crazy maze pictures?
Exactly. Okay. And so it's a puzzle game, so I love puzzle games, so I was curious, so I picked it up and played. I played about 6-7 hours of it.
Wow.
And I had a lot of fun with it, but it seems a little bit like this could have been a Flash game that I was playing on, you know, just some website. So I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I was like, man, I'm glad I paid the 99 cents and not whatever they were asking for the regular price for this. Basically, you play this guy, and you can control kind of the world, and you can rotate the world. But at the end of the day, you basically are it's basically a marble game, you know, where you're just rotating the marble to get it where it needs to go.
Kind of looks like eventually you're going to get it regardless.
A little bit. It's got a little bit of that. The puzzle is trying to figure out how to do it.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of things that are killing you. There are a couple things that will kill you and restart.
What happens if you spin it too quick and you fall?
There's a limit to how fast you can spin it.
So this is kind of like Marble Madness, but instead of controlling the marble, you are controlling the map.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's kind of what it is. So, I mean, I had fun. It was well worth the 99 cents. I don't think it would be worth, you know, whatever the price that is the regular price.
$5 or $6.
It's got some interesting mechanics. Later on, you can flip it. Instead of you being down, you're up. So now it's like working. Okay. So it reverses the graphics or reverses the gravity.
Oh, I see.
So it's fun, but it wasn't anything great. And
definitely looks cool.
Yeah.
But the novelty, I'm sure, wears off pretty quickly.
Yeah. It does. It definitely does. It was fun puzzles. I had fun while I was playing it, but as soon as I stopped playing it, I didn't want to pick it up again.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's
you finish it?
No, there's like 6 chapters or so. I got to chapter 4.
Lot of gameplay, man. Well, not so much gameplay as it just takes a while to figure these things out.
It was a couple hours. I probably played, like I said, 6 or 8 hours. And probably had a couple more hours to go, and I just didn't finish it up. But
cool.
All right. Can we get into news?
Now we can do news. Okay.
And I will not talk again. So go ahead.
So last week we talked a little bit about Robin Williams being put into World of Warcraft, and it looks like that has finally happened.
Yeah, have you guys seen this video yet?
Mm-mm.
Yes. So he's in the form of the genie from Aladdin.
Oh, sweet.
You can find a lamp, rub it, and he does his line, phenomenal cosmic powers, itty-bitty living space.
And there's, nearby there's a broken egg from Mork and Mindy. You know, with all the little stuff, like there's somebody that lived in there or whatever, just like in the TV show. Huh. I don't know if anybody, man, I might be the only one old enough
to. I have
to
no idea what
Mork and Mindy is. You don't know what Mork and
Mindy
is?
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
It is. Don't go back and watch it. Although I did see that I happened to be on a torrent site, not that I was downloading stuff, but the Mork and Mindy complete edition was like in the top 10. Like, people really have nostalgia about this guy.
He's one of the best actors of our generation, right?
Actors.
Yeah.
Actors. Yeah, I guess so.
No, he's a great actor. Yeah. I mean, I got to give him that. I mean, he's got a background in Juilliard. I mean, the guy's just not, it's not like he's just funny, you know, he's actually very good.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. And we talked a lot about that last week, and that's cool that they finally put him in there. Is that Warlords of Draenor that he's in?
I believe it is. Yep.
So someone was probably playing the beta and they found him in there.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, up next, Oculus consumer model is still not coming out for like a year, it looks like, but it's going to stay in the $200 to $400 range, and it is a significant improvement from the development kit 2. Higher resolution, faster frame rate, smaller device overall, so it gets better and better, but it's still not coming out for another year. Getting tired of waiting for this thing.
Seriously.
But I thought you were the guy who's like, it's not going to be cool.
I don't know. There's heated debates. When I looked at the comments section of this article, which I believe was on Polygon, let me verify that.
PC Gamer. I'm sorry, PC Gamer.
Yeah, PC Gamer, if you want to read the full article. But, you know, people were arguing back and forth, like, you're going to have to spend $400 on an Oculus, and, you know, who's going to make games for that, and it's too much of an investment. Who knows? You know, when this thing finally comes out, we'll see how people accept it. You know, especially with things like Star Citizen, and games kind of along that line, who knows what this could turn into.
I don't know. Like, consoles are, we're asking you to invest in a Kinect or a PlayStation Move. Like, this is just one of those things that go along with it, right? Like, isn't that similar to the same, to this Move?
Yeah, but nothing ever cost $200 to $400 as a peripheral before.
I don't think it's so much the cost as it is the convenience. You know, having people have to strap this on, calibrate it, configure it, do all that stuff. And, you know, it's a bit of a chore. It's like the 3D glasses that I hardly ever use anymore. So I don't know. But then you're going to have some people who really like it and are willing to do that. You know, there will be a crowd. I don't know if it's going to be global, if everybody's going to do it. But there'll definitely be, like, certain people who are all about this.
I'm going to get one, for sure. No way.
Yeah.
No way I'm not going to get one, for sure.
I'm going to play on his. So
it'll be finally something you use in mine as opposed to the other way. Hey, man, that's my shirt.
All right, up next, Unreal 4 Engine to be offered free at schools.
I thought this was genius. If programmers are learning how to, or designers are learning how to craft on these at design schools, they're going to be familiar with it, and they're going to want to use it when they make their own games. It's a self-promotion tool. Why wouldn't you do this? And just giving it to all educational places, that's cool too, because, you know, it might inspire a kid to get into gaming where he wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely good news.
And you can play at home and use it at home, apparently. Personal copies will be provided free of charge to all students. So that's all good.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Stomping Land has been pulled from Steam. Devs have gone silent. No news from them.
Yeah, I read the article. Their media person, which is somebody you need to have now, I guess, went to another company. And so they don't have a front man for their... But also, people have been trying to contact them. And the last little thing that the lead designer said is that he is... they're going to switch the Unreal 4 engine from another engine, or maybe I have it vice versa. His name's Alex Fundora. And he says that, he put a lot more work on his plate, but that was like a long time ago. So I don't know exactly what is going on. It showed a lot of promise. Yeah. Chad liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a little bit of an outcry for...
This was one of the top sellers. When we covered this game, along with The Forest, I think it was, both those games were selling like crazy. And the fact that it's been pulled from Steam is like a big red flag to me. I mean, have you seen some of the shit that's on Steam?
Yeah.
They're not known for being picky. Why would they pull this?
I'm sure there's some sort of agreement where you have to at least be in communication with them. You know, and if they can't contact you over something, then that's a big red flag for them.
Honestly. Well, maybe this speaks a little bit about this early access that you know, we've been talking about this glut of early access. Everything is early access. You go to Steam and you go to the news and all of it is early access, early access. And, you know, maybe this will start happening more where they start making a game, they get their 200,000 or whatever they get out of the game, and then they just stop, you know, like...
Not to mention what they got out of Kickstarter as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think they made 110,000 on Kickstarter. And yeah, I mean, sooner or later, one of these has to fail. Do you guys predict that this game is not going to come out like it's done for?
That's my prediction, yeah. Hopefully they can sell it off to somebody who wants to pick it up.
I mean, Chad, you're the one that played it. How playable was it in the alpha?
I had fun. Guys are saying that there's even buyers that are asking for refunds. So, you know, this is crazy. Like,
well, I'm not surprised because so many people, you know, like I said earlier, so many people bought this game. It was one of the top sellers that week. So, yeah, I'd imagine a lot of people are feeling a little cheated about it now. But then again, I don't know if they're entitled to a refund. I mean, that's what you signed up for in the early access, the alpha.
I mean, I wouldn't be asking for a refund. You know, I had my fun. You know, if at the end of the day that was all I got out of my $20, then so be it. I'm not going to be thrilled with the idea, but it's not something like I feel like I got screwed on the deal.
And at the end of the day, being a good game developer doesn't make you good at business.
Exactly.
They got a windfall of money. They mismanaged it. Who knows what happened to the team or just management in general. You know, some people probably got their cut and just took off.
Yeah.
So this guy's stuck with like all this intellectual property and nothing more to do with it.
I mean, we can speculate about what really happened, but making a game is an incredible amount of work.
Yeah.
And it's a very long process, depending on how many people you have. I mean, it is a hard thing to accomplish. And that's why we're seeing so many of these early access games that are just constantly in development. I don't know. It's surprising that more games don't end up like this.
I think it's one of those risks you take when you sign up for early access. Like,
I didn't even have to look into the small print in order to have that thought. Like, I feel like I had that thought going into any early access thing.
Yeah, and I think you're fooling yourself if you think, oh, I signed up for early access, that means I'm going to get a final product at the end.
I'm going to get a AAA title.
Yeah.
You're giving this money to probably a team of 5 to 10 people. So many things can go wrong.
Yeah.
A guy could die. The main guy could die. Who knows?
Hmm. All right, Hearthstone expansion soon.
Yeah, I brought it up.
Wasn't there just an expansion?
Yeah, there just was, but I think they're making a lot of money over there at Blizzard.
Blizzard's making a lot of
money.
Not
including WoW. I think Hearthstone's probably pulling in more money than WoW right now.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, just the amount of players, the amount of, they're so secretive about these things, but just the amount of video content that's on the web. And
Twitch goes crazy about this game.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't find enjoyment watching somebody else play Hearthstone.
No, you watch me sometimes.
It is the easiest game to stream.
Hey, you did that wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, you did that
wrong. I like critiquing you. I like telling you how you fucked up.
Was that Bobby?
I said it's a very easy game to stream. I mean, it's like a flash game almost. Yeah. Anybody could stream this.
Mm-hmm.
So they said over 100 new cards. It's coming out soon. That's the only reason I'm really bringing it up. I didn't expect soon. Does soon mean...
Soon is a joke in Blizzard. Soon, TM. Yeah. I don't know if you like. Soon is a joke because
you're
soon
2015.
Soon could be anything from 6 weeks to 2 years. Like we don't know anything,
right?
But if they're making money, They'll be pushing product. Yeah. That's how it works.
And they're going to sell them through PAX, too. So they're going to sell, not PAX, the expo, but PAX, like card packs of cards. So, yeah, I'd rather it go this way. I don't know if... What do you think overall of the other thing, how they did that?
I enjoyed it. I thought maybe they overcharged a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, like $30 or $25 or whatever it was that for that product.
$25 for 30 cards, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and high. A gameplay experience. Like, yeah. There was a lot of single-player experience. I enjoyed it. Compared to other collectible card games, Hearthstone is a value.
Yeah.
But I don't think... Maybe I'm not sure Hearthstone should be compared to other collectible card games. I think
it's its own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it was overcharged a little bit, but you know, people paid for it. So supply and you know, like if people are willing to buy it at that price, then why not set it at that price?
But something must have went wrong where they're not going to do another one of those. Maybe it was just too much work.
I don't think that's the reason. I think they just want to try something different. Like, that's how Blizzard operates. Like, they do one expansion on WoW one way, and then the next expansion, they go a completely different way. They just want to try things out. They want to try, you know, different hands. They've got different lead game designers. They got different people doing it. They got different ideas. They're all good ideas. They're all very smart people that are working over there.
Yeah.
But I think I wouldn't be surprised if the next expansion doesn't go back to the other... To the way this one,
yeah, you're probably right. They'll probably hop back and forth, or some combination of the two.
I still am waiting for Monk. I really want to play a Monk.
They haven't even talked about it.
I know
it's been whispered about.
I know, and I'm sure they'll coincide. I wouldn't be surprised if this Hearthstone expansion doesn't coincide with Warlords of Draenor in some way. You know, like doesn't that make sense?
Maybe it has something to do with putting in a Monk. Because if you put in 100 new cards, if you put in just the class-specific cards, you're talking, what do they have, like 30 cards, right?
Yeah, something
I
like
bet
that.
That's what it is.
I don't know. They haven't mentioned
them. The problem is there's no room for it on the 3x3 grid. So where are you going to put them?
I'm sure they'll figure that out.
Hearthstone never gets old.
Have you played the single-player part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I played a little bit of it.
Yeah.
The very first one.
Yeah.
Naxxramas. Yeah.
All right, next. What else we got?
Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, I really like the look of this. Did you see this at PAX?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was there. So, it's a roguelike... What did I put?
Is this an indie title?
Yeah, it's in... I believe so. But they're charging, I think, like $50 for it, which is crazy. But
it doesn't sound indie.
Yeah.
Roguelike, turn-based, group combat, highly stylized, really, again, the really dark shading...
Mm-hmm.
Which looks great. I mean, this game makes it look really good. XCOM-like squad management, so you're stuck with the same four guys. And then you can bring them back to your base. And then if one died, you replace him with somebody new kind of thing.
Gotcha.
You put them out there. The interesting thing that they have is a lot of your guys will have these mental disabilities already. Like, one will be prone to panic, or one will be claustrophobic, and stuff like that. And so you're going to have to deal with these mental problems that they have while you're going into...
What setting is this at?
What are you talking about? Oh.
Like fantasy? Is this a...
Yeah, it's a fantasy.
Modern day?
No, I'm pretty sure it's fantasy. I mean, you have your knight. But you'll see that some guys have guns, too. But then you also have the plague doctor. So they cast spells. So it's probably, you know, a mix of the two.
Like... What, Mad Max a little bit, or kind of post-apocalyptic?
I don't know. All I know is that a lot of those little catchphrases that I just said are things that I enjoy. You know, the roguelike, squad-based, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Art looks great. Yeah, looking forward to this one.
Yeah, but you're not paying $50 for
this. No, I think I'm hoping that was just for buy it now kind of thing. Like the pre-order with some like special bells and whistles, but that's expensive for something.
Who's the developer on this? Do we know?
Is it Red Hook Games?
Yeah, Red Hook Games.
Is this somebody that we know?
No, not that I know of. No.
Okay.
But I've read some other little things that people who had played it said, and they really enjoyed it. So hopefully, it's good.
Cool.
All right. I like the look of that game.
Yeah,
got kind of a cool medieval theme to it.
Yeah.
All right. I noticed today on Steam, Binding of Isaac Rebirth, they got a date.
They do.
Amiibo jacked off twice, just at the date showing up.
If you can see on the thing, my hand is going down now.
Yeah.
So it's weird because, oh man, this, just watch this fucking trailer. It's so weird, man. I guess we're not getting a lot of frames right now, but I can't even go tell you, recommend to go see it. It's just such a weird, weird thing. If you thought the first one was weird, this one's even weirder.
Is this live action also?
Yeah, it's like live action cut in with like regular. It's like a naked person that has tits and a cock and a Isaac mask on. I don't know. I can't say. But anyway, it's going to have double the content of the first game, local co-op.
Well, this is retailing for $14.99, and you can buy it now for $10?
Yeah, no. What it is you could buy it for $10 if you own the first one. They give you 33% off if, you know, for customer whatever.
Yeah.
Loyalty or whatever. Which I always think is a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool when they do that. And who doesn't own the first one at this point?
Is there a pre-purchase option? Because I mean, those...
You have to pre-purchase it to get the 33% off.
Oh.
Yeah. But you have... Oh, there's a little mix-up here. On the out, the thing that I saw said it's out on the 2nd, November 2nd, and the Steam says it's November 4th. So
yeah, I was going to say, when I saw it on Steam, it said November 4th.
Yeah, so whatever. Hmm. At least I have a date now, and I can stop scratching tallies into my wall.
Yeah.
November is going to be a busy month for me between this and Warlords of Draenor.
Is when is Borderlands come out? Pretty soon as well, right? That's on Steam as well.
I might have to quit my job.
All right. So we just can't get enough of Double Fine. Grim Fandango to be remastered.
Yeah, so this is just one of those game names that I've heard all throughout my gaming career. Never even seen a screenshot. You just hear it in the ether all the time. Have you guys played it? Do you know what the fuck it is?
Never played it, but I know what it is.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I haven't actually played it.
So I think it's something that's held up there close to Monkey Island or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a click adventure guy, so, but I figured I'd put this in there because maybe Bobby would know.
Yeah, no, this is big news for a lot of people. It's a very, very popular game. Maybe the most, this shows up in every top 10 point and click adventures. Now, is this isn't any sort of exclusive, is it? This will be on PC, right?
Correct, but it's also going to be on the consoles.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a simultaneous launch as well.
I think this is actually perfect for me since I didn't play the first one. And, you know, it's how hard it is to go back and play old games sometimes. So sometimes a remastered is just the perfect time to finally play a game.
You know, and the original doesn't look completely terrible.
Yeah.
But the new one might look... It's going to look great if this looks this good.
Yeah, Double Fine seems to be doing a lot. I'm just wondering what the hell is up with that second half of Broken Age. I mean, wasn't that supposed to be like April?
Nah, we're going to redo our old games instead.
Doing something.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think a lot of promises get met when the money's already been spent.
Yeah. You know what? And I understand that, and I'm not holding in to it, but I just haven't heard any news on it at all. Like, I haven't heard a peep. I think I might have even Googled it a few times to see if I could dig up some information. Nothing. It's like everybody forgot about it.
Hey, remember that? No.
Yeah. All right, so last on the list, we got Evolve Update. Dev says more modes to come.
Hmm.
Yeah, I knew that was something Bobby was worried about.
Yeah, and me too.
Yeah, so they said there's going to be more modes. I don't know how much you can stretch that out. Where he said something about they're going to have different goals for different, you know, the monster has to do one thing and the hunters have to do something else. Mm. They're going to have to try to knock each other off from doing it. But ultimately, aren't you just, wouldn't killing the other team solve that? Who knows? We'll see when they come out. They're smart guys over there, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and that game definitely needed more.
Yeah, and in the interview that I saw, they also asked them if we're going to be able to mod. And because of the engine that they're using, they don't know if they're going to be licensing. They don't know if they can just open up the source engine to. So they got to figure out with the engine that they're using if they can do that. And then finally, the DLC. So if Chad and I haven't bought any DLC, but Bobby did, and he has the, like, the new monster that nobody's seen before. We don't have to buy the DLC in order to play versus the monster. So no matter what DLCs you buy, you'll be always be able to play everybody, no matter what DLCs they have.
Which it's is only nice. It's only which one you play, not which one you play against, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, or with.
So that's a good thing that they threw in there. Okay. You're not excluding anybody from any games.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a cool little video interview.
Yeah, right on.
Yep.
Cool. More news on Evolve, and they pushed back the date on that, right? They released it?
Yeah, I think it's 2015 for sure now.
Yeah.
I want to say January, but I'm not exactly sure.
Well, now we know why.
Yep. It looks good, though. I'm ready for it to come out.
How was the booth over there?
The fucking...
Longest line? What'd you say?
No. No. They were getting in and out. But okay. They had one of, you know, that Evolve
monster
20 feet tall, maybe. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It had fucking drool coming down its mouth.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, you walk in, you thought it was like a theme park when you walked in, because this fucking giant monster was there.
Is that the coolest single piece of art?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. Somebody spent thousands of dollars to get this thing. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, so before we wrap this up, you guys want to talk about what you plan on doing next week?
Well, yeah. What am I doing next week?
I am playing. I'm probably going to fully mod. I got my new rig going, and I haven't really tested it yet. So I'm going to. I think I said this last week, but you know, I'm a gamer. Probably mod my Skyrim. Probably help Chad mod his as well. I want to finish the second expansion pack, which I haven't got into yet. I want to finish Mass Effect 3, even though I'm probably only 25% of the way through.
Yeah, right.
And let's see. Binding of Isaac isn't going to be out yet, so that's it for me.
Yeah. If the listeners give me something good to play, I'm going to play that.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing I want to play. Whatever the listeners want me to play.
Awesome. I've been slipping a little bit back into TF2 every now and then, having some fun with that. But
always down for that.
Yeah, that's always a good time. All right, cool. So before I go into the whole wrap-up deal here, just a heads up, the Steam or the DL Gaming Weekly giveaways will be coming to a close, unfortunately. We're going to find a new way to give out games. That being said, either next week or the following week will be the last one. I'll let you know. We're going to have a huge blowout sale. So typically you get
extra
one
free
sale from free to extra free.
Yep. So typically you get one game for free. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but you will be able to pick up multiple games. Again, the special list is still up. If you are a listener and you ask me for the special list, I will give you that. I think I got Lifeless Planet, Jazz Punk is still on there, Vulgar the Viking. That one was kind of decent.
But those are all one each.
Sure. Yeah, those ones are still one each. I'll explain the details on the blowout soon. Going to clear out the inventory.
Cool.
All right. So you can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Check out our website, DLGaming. Just go straight into
like... I was like, man, he's getting so good at this.
Yeah. I don't even get to say spiel.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. Yeah, check out our website, dlgaming.net. Check out our Steam group, DL Gaming. Twitter is dlgamingdotnet. And, of course, our new YouTube channel. Definitely check that out. That is DL Gaming. All right.
Titties.
Yeah.
It is.